here in Leviticus 2, I want to talk about this grain offering. And although the grain offering was often used in conjunction with larger sacrifices, and they had to offer their animal plus grain offerings, the grain offering, it's quite clear, could be offered by anyone just as it was, as a free will offering. And what was it? Well, it shall be of fine flour, verse 1, with oil and frankincense on it, verse 2, and the priest shall take his handful of its fine flour and burn the rest of it on the altar as a memorial, and it will be a pleasant aroma to Yahweh. Well, as I understand it, if you, quote, just wanted to offer a grain offering in the sense of a bit of ground-up grain, even a couple of handfuls of it, you could just come and do it. Put a bit of oil on it, put a frankincense on it, and come and offer it. And that is the significance of the little phrase in verse 1, when anyone offers a grain offering, when anyone, literally any soul, any person. And I think that that's a phrase carefully chosen. And the rabbis suggest that this meant that women as well as men and also children could come and offer this free will offering because there is no age limit stipulated. And you know, the law of Moses is like, it's pretty specific about things like that. There's no age limit. There's no gender limit. It's male, female of any age. Absolutely anyone can come and make a tiny offering. Even if it's a couple of handfuls of flour, that's what you can do. And so there opens up here the clear possibility of absolutely anyone offering just a tiny offering. Anyone. And we see how God loves this kind of thing. He loves these little offerings. And of course, you do think of the widow's two small coins. Jesus was standing there by the treasury, by this big thing called the trumpet, where the coins jingled and made a loud noise, and these people coming and pouring in great sacks of money so that everybody could see, and this poor widow comes and throws in two very small coins, and Jesus is right eagle-eyed on her. He noticed that, and he loved it, and held her up as a great example. So the idea of we can offer a little something, and literally any of us can do that, this is significant. It's unfortunately the idea that, you know, lots of money is needed by the church and for missionary activities and so forth, and I don't have money, really. So, look, there's people who've got money and they're generous. We'll let them do that. I don't know quite what my calling is, but it's certainly not to do that because I don't have any money. And this is a sad reflection of the way of capitalism, of the sort of commodification of everything, the turning of everything into a cash value. No, the point is that we can all offer something, absolutely all of us. If it is a couple of handfuls of flour, then offer it. Anyone can do this. The law is open and eager for you to do that. So we have to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, what can I offer? What is my offering? Because the principle of sacrifice is very clear in the scriptures that we must sacrifice. We must be prepared. This is the whole message of the parable of the tabernacle, that a person approached the tent of meeting through the door, which was built at such a height that most people would have to bow their head to get through it, so it was humility, and then the altar of burnt offering, the principle of sacrifice, then the laver, baptism, then the holy place, the candlestick representing maybe the witness of God's people, the table of showbread, the breaking of bread, the incense altar, the power of prayer, and then the veil into the most holy place. This was all the pattern, the path of somebody to God. And yet, early on in that path, there has to be the acceptance of this principle of sacrifice. And as I say, don't reduce it all to financial terms. And even if you still do think in financial terms, I think most people have got literally two pennies. Do something for others and thereby for God. Not necessarily throw money into a collection bag or whatever, it may be in those terms, but do something for other people, because by serving your brother, you are serving God. Now, when you come to the New Testament, I think that this grain offering is alluded to, because verse 2, the priest is to burn a handful of this flour as a memorial. Well, Paul uses that same word that the Septuagint uses for memorial when he talks about how he makes mention of his brethren in regular prayer. He uses this word a lot, Romans 1, Ephesians 1, 1 Thessalonians 1, Philemon, that he remembers them in his prayers. He makes a memorial for them. And he's alluding to how this handful of grain, the handful of flour rather, was burnt on the altar from absolutely anybody as a memorial on the altar. And he's applying that language to prayer, which of course is like incense that's offered on the altar of the Lord Jesus to God. So anybody can pray. Anybody can just grab a bit of time and devote that to prayer. Don't think you have nothing to offer. The most obvious offering is prayer. And just as somebody could have their bit of flour and think, yeah, that's all I got, bit of flour. Okay, I'll just go there and offer it, even a handful of it. That is a memorial to God. And Paul interprets this as prayer. And you understand why? Because anybody can pray. We can all do it, male, female, any age, no limits. Just come and do it. That's the idea. And so, verse 3, there's the little comment. It is a most holy thing of the offerings of Yahweh made by fire. It's most holy. This simple little grain offering, this little something, this to God was most holy of the offerings. God loved it. It was most holy to him. And as I say, his dear son, the Lord Jesus, reflected that in the way he perceived the offering of the widow of her two small coins.